Hillbilly Horror Stories presents Eerie Encounters.
I thought I would share my personal encounter with a good angel. One day in the springtime, this was about 20 years ago, my husband left to go to work at 4 a.m. I was asleep all by myself in the two-story home that we lived in. This was around 9 a.m. I was awoken by a strange sound. When I opened my eyes, I noticed that the two panels of my fabric vertical blinds, located in the middle, were moving rapidly, hitting each other, producing that sound. All the other blinds were stiff as a board, except for those two panels in the middle. No windows were open, there was no fan on, or any other type of air movement in the room. So when I was watching it move, I wasn't even afraid, but more at peace. At the same time, I thought to myself that someone was telling me something. I got out of bed and I walked to my door. After opening the door, I immediately smelled something burning. I quickly rushed downstairs to find out that my dryer was on and was extremely hot. The clothes that were in there were burning and extremely hot to the touch. Long story short, I found out that my husband had put something in the dryer around 4 a.m., and the dryer never shut off. It had been running constantly for 5 hours or so. If I didn't get awoken by those blinds, I'm sure I would have lost my house. I thank this good angel for getting my attention. Thank you for letting me share my story. That story was from Serena in Campbellsville, Kentucky. When I was about 4 years old, my grandmother looked after me as my parents went off to work. She taught me my prayers, and every day before taking a nap, I would say the Hail Mary and the prayer to my guardian angel. One day, I remember bouncing down the stairs singing Jesus Loves Me. As I jumped to the second step, I tripped and started falling forward. When I started falling, I felt as if someone or something was holding me up by my elbows, and I landed softly on my feet, never hitting one step as I fell. As I turned around and looked up, on the top landing was a figure with long wavy blonde hair, bronze-colored skin, wearing a bright white gown with a gold-colored cord tied around the waist. And not only did he glow, but there was an immense amount of peace, for I wasn't scared. Even though he never said anything, nor had any wings, or at least I don't recall seeing any, I knew it was my guardian angel. I then looked down at my feet, and when I looked back up, he was gone. I immediately ran back up the steps to tell my grandmother that I saw an angel, who responded, "That's nice." I then went back to hopping down the steps, singing Jesus Loves Me, hoping that he would return, of which he never did. I've only shared this story maybe 4 or 5 times in my lifetime, as it's always been very special to me and still is, as it has always snapped me back during the times of my spiritual trials, doubts, or questioning of my faith, reestablishing without a doubt God's love for us and the existence of guardian angels. The story was sent anonymously. When I was 16 years old, I was involved in a terrible car accident. It was June 16, 1996, and I was a passenger riding home from the beach, and my parents were following behind us. We were hit head-on by a drunk driver. The jolt sent me first through the windshield. The airbag then came out, and I was sent backwards into the seat. The car started to spin, and I was thrown through the closed passenger window and across 5 lanes, and landed in a ditch a foot from a telephone pole that the drunk driver's car hit. The person driving the car that I was in was paralyzed from the neck down. I remember hearing the glass break, but I couldn't feel anything. Everything was dark, and I felt wind blowing past my ears, and I had the sensation of falling. I then felt myself caught. I looked up, and I saw the face of my grandmother, who had passed away 3 years earlier. but she was younger, like in her 30s. And she had reddish hair, which I had never known her to have. It was twisted back, and from pictures that I've seen, that I now know that this is how she wore her hair back in her early days. She had on an ivory flowing gown, gold, silver, and bronze ropes or tassels, and she had wings back in a resting position. I heard the wind going through them, and I could see the feathers moving. She had on no shoes. She said, "It's okay, honey, I've got you." And she flew across the road with me, 5 lanes of traffic, mind you, and laid me down on the other side. She disappeared. I was given CPR and immediately told my mother that I wasn't going to make it. I had seen my Nana. I saw her again when I was airlifted. She was sitting by the window at my feet to my left. She said, "Isn't it funny how when I had my stroke, you were all laughing, saying how mad I was going to be since I was afraid of heights and I had never flown. Now here you are, flying." And then she disappeared, and I never saw her again. That was a true story. When she was airlifted after her stroke, we had that very conversation in the car on the way to the hospital. One of the eyewitnesses to the accident said that he had seen many accidents, but had never seen anyone float across the road and land like a feather. I didn't break any bones, but did have a few facial reconstructive surgeries from the windows. That story was sent from Kelly from Ontario. I was 18 years old and living with 4 other young ladies from the beauty school I attended. One Friday night, I told the girls that I was going for a walk and I left the house. Nothing seemed to be going right. I felt so lonely that I couldn't stand being alive. I felt like I wanted to die. I had nothing to look forward to, it seemed, but suffering. As I walked down the street, the realization of not being able to harm myself hit me. But I knew that if I walked around, unescorted long enough, somebody else would. So I began following a star. That star led me to a church, and I felt that that's where God wanted me to be. I approached the church, hoping there might be someone there I could talk to. There were 2 large wooden doors, and when I attempted to open them, I found that they were locked. I began pounding on the doors with my fist, thinking, "Is this some kind of a sick joke?" I was so angry at God that I began cursing him and doubted that he even existed. "Where are you?" Well, some men arrived. "Hey, baby, where you going?" were the first words that I heard them say. "To jump off a bridge," was my reply. Before I could utter another sound, each one of them grabbed one of my arms. And they asked me, "Have you got time for a cup of coffee?" "Sure," I said. "Why not?" They practically lifted me off the ground as they led me into this little dump of a restaurant. I had my coffee all right, and in the course of our conversation, they asked me for my phone number, and I gave it to them. After all, I'd be dead before the night was through, so it didn't really matter to me who had my phone number. One of them excused himself to go to the restroom, and upon his return suggested that we all go for a ride. Some ride, they took me right home. My roommate greeted us at the door. She invited them in and took me to my room, and a barrage of questions followed. "What the hell's the matter with you? Haven't you been taking your medicine? Where is it?" She dumped all the contents of my purse out on the bed and found the Valium. The following morning, I asked about the guys, the Hell's Angels, and she told me that before they brought me home, one of them had called her and asked her if she knew what I was up to. When he found out that she didn't, he asked her for the address, and that's how they knew where to bring me. Here I was thinking that he was going to the bathroom, and he was calling her. Their insignias read Hell's Angels. It should have read Heaven's Angels. God had answered my question. He was there, I just didn't recognize him. She gave me back my medicine, saying, "Please don't forget to take this. And the next time you're on a downer, come talk to one of us, okay?" Yes, it was okay with me. I went back to the room and pulled out my poetry. I read all of it over and over, and then I just laid there thinking of God. I guess I just wasn't meant to die that night, or surely I would have. She took the rest of my pills and left the room. The story was sent anonymously.
You have been listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories Presents Eerie Encounters. If you have an eerie encounter that you would like read on the show, please send it to hillbillyhorrorstories@gmail.com.